What about the hominid fossils? This is part 4 of 8 by Paul Abramson, the editor of www.creationism.org.
There are about 250 breeds of dogs in the world. Some people say 300. There's different numbers. But there's a lot of different kinds of dogs. You have Chihuahuas, Dobermans, German Shepherds, St. Bernards, Beagles, all different kinds of dogs, all different sizes, different fur lengths, different colors. Tell me, are all the big dogs smarter than all the small dog breeds? If you've ever owned a dog, you could say, well, no, it doesn't seem that way. Some Beagles, for example, or Terriers, or some different dogs may be a lot smarter than some of the bigger dogs. For example, say a St. Bernard or some other big mutt or something like that may not be as bright. Okay, now let's think about this for a minute. The smaller dogs have smaller heads. That means they have smaller physical brain sizes, right? So we could then theorize that among dogs, brain size and intelligence is not necessarily linked, right? Okay, let's talk about the hominid fossils. You know how the evolutionists like to line up the hominid fossils and say, oh, look, the brain size has been increasing and things like this. And they line them up according to, there are several different criteria, but one of them is brain size. And they try to contend, or in their evolutionary theory, they contend that brain size and intelligence among humans is linked. No, I don't think so. I lived in, I'm of European descent myself. I'm a tall white guy or whatever, however you'd want to describe me. I lived in Japan for 5 years, and I was a lot bigger, taller than most people over there. But I'll tell you what, there are some, and Japanese people are smaller. They have smaller physical heads. I'll tell you what, there's some very smart Japanese people in the world. I would contend that among humans alive today, brain size and intelligence is not necessarily linked. Okay, now follow me here. Stay with me and consider this scientifically. When the evolutionists dig up these fossils, hominids, and they say, oh, here's where this fits in the human ancestry and things like that. Well, that's one possible interpretation of the data. There's other possible interpretations of the data. I know that most people have never heard creation theory before. And obviously many people say, oh, it's inherently unscientific. Well, no, not necessarily. We just interpret the scientific data. In many cases, we interpret the scientific data set differently. You have seen or heard about people who have had, let's say they've had a calcium deficiency for 10 or 20 years. Okay, now imagine it makes them stooped over, they're kind of leaning forward, right? It affects their skeletal structure, right? Well, actually, a calcium deficiency is pretty serious. It affects many different things, not just your skeleton. It affects your level of your central nervous system. It affects your circulation system. If you have a deficiency in iron, it affects you in other ways, right? Okay, now, if in ancient times, up until about 100 years ago, If down in much of history, most people only ate local, and let's think scientifically, if most people only ate local foods, and let's say that the local soil in some areas was low in iron, or low in potassium, or low in selenium, or low in molybdenum, or low in any of these other 50 or however many different minerals we need trace amounts of, or it was missing it, that's going to affect the growth and the health of all the plants, animals, and people in those areas, right? I mean, just think about this logically, right? So just like when I mentioned the person, say, someone who has a calcium deficiency, if they're missing any one or a combination of these minerals, it could affect all the people in that region, correct? So then we could then look, we may dig up their skeleton centuries later, a couple thousand years later, and the evolutionists may say, oh, here is the way to interpret this fossil evidence. No, there's other possible ways to interpret that fossil evidence. Perhaps these people, perhaps some of these fossils, fossil hominids, had nutritional deficiencies of some kind. Perhaps they had a congenital disease or some kind of inbreeding or other problems, particularly if you find three or four in one area. That doesn't mean necessarily. Now, one interpretation is, oh, evolution happened. This is proof of evolution. No, it isn't. That's one theory. There's another theory out there that we were created and that we have fallen from what we were originally capable of doing, and that we're at a much lower level than who and what we used to be, what we could have been as humans. We're much smaller today, actually, than many of our ancestors. Some of our ancestors used to be 10 and 12 feet tall. And that's true. There have been fossils found of these. You don't hear about that from the evolutionists because they want to show us people who are 4 and 5 and feet tall and stuff like that. But it is important for us to realize that brain size intelligence and intelligence are not necessarily linked. Okay, one. Two is that nutritional deficiencies at any time in history, now and in the past, affect skeletal growth, its central nervous system. It affects intelligence, right? I mean, if you're missing some kinds of foods, you know that scurvy, that's a lack of vitamin C, affected people on ships and stuff, sailors, down in history. And, I mean, you can have different nutritional deficiencies. Rickets is another one. There's many different diseases that are simply a lack of some nutrient. And so when we look at the fossil record, please consider the possibility there's other ways to interpret this. And there's one other thing we need to talk about when we talk about the hominid fossils, because the evolutionists like to say, oh, look, we have evidence for evolution, evidence for evolution. In 1984, there was a big exhibition in New York called Ancestors, and they brought together 43 fossil hominid remains, and they said, look, we have evidence for evolution. 43 remains from 43 persons out there. Well, some were persons, some were from the simian line, from monkeys and apes, and had absolutely nothing to do with humans, had nothing to do with evolution at all. It's just misinterpreted data. But do you know how many fossil humans there are altogether? About 6,000. You don't hear about the other 5,900 plus of them, do you? You know why? Because they show that humans have always been humans. What is the preponderance of the evidence? 99% of the fossil humans that have been found in all different layers, all different quote-unquote ages, although we talked in the last section how the radioactive dating methods don't work, but in all different layers, what we find is humans have always been humans. Now, there are some that are slightly deformed than others, and I would contend that the most extreme ones, these 1% or less than 1%, perhaps were either due to congenital defects or some other kind of extreme malnutrition of some kind from one or more minerals or something like that. As a theory, please consider this as a theory. Remember, you know, we're talking about science here. There's no reason to get upset. Some evolutionists get really upset, get very angry about these things, but please consider these things scientifically. Thank you.